think Philip's got somewhere to go after.
No, I haven't. I've got all day. Time's money, money's time. These guys have got a house to go to.
Sorry.
Hey, Bob.
Hello. Hey, Bob.
Hello.
Hey, howdy.
Sorry, I was in the car park.
Also acknowledge that Councillor Curran is also present and sitting in on the meeting. Audit record of the meeting. An audit recording the meeting is made in with accordance of our recording of Council's and the committee meeting policy 7.11. The audit recording will be available on Council's website within 7 business days after the meeting. Acknowledgement of country. The Brighton Council acknowledged the First Nation people of Papuara-Papakara, Tasmania Aboriginal communities as the traditional owners and original owners of the skies, lands and water of Tasmania, Little Winter, and pays our respect to elders past and present. The Brighton Council acknowledged that the connection of these of the First Nation Tasmania Aboriginal people have to the skies and water of Tasmania, Little Winter, and that prize them with the food, medicines and craft celebrations through their ceremony today. We have no apologies. We're all present. And question time and deputation. Anyone got any question time and deputation prior to? There's no question time and deputation. No one's in the gallery. Declaration of interest. In accordance with the requirements of Part 2 of the Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedure, Regulation 2015, the Chairman of the meeting has requested Council indicate whether they have or are likely to have a peculiar interest or conflict of interest in the items of the agenda. Has anybody got a conflict of interest? It's been noted that nobody has any conflict of interest, so therefore we go on to number 5, business. 5.1, Brighton Agricultural Show Memorandum Understanding. And I'll pass this over to Gillian. I think you're going to handle this one.
I am, yes. So the Brighton Show has been run out of the Pontville grounds for a number of years, and we've not really had a memorandum of understanding. So in the past, some things have happened. We don't know whose responsibility is. So it's just sort of a memorandum of understanding between Council and the Brighton Show or the Brighton Agricultural Society to formalise an agreement of whose responsibilities it is for different things. It's good governance that we protect ourselves, and also from some things that have happened in the past with what goes on at the show, such as any accidents or anything like that. It just gives clear a clear sort of line in the sand of who is responsible for any damage or anything like that that's happening. So basically putting up the Council adopts the MOU between Brighton Council and the Brighton Agricultural Show Society.
Has anybody got any questions or anything to add to it?
Quick one through you, Chair. I noticed in the next item is the insurance company or broker's been involved. Has the insurance been involved with this on our behalf?
In respect to...
What level of liability should they be?
In the MOU, I believe it's actually... there are guidelines of what they are responsible for and what their insurance are responsible for and what our insurers are responsible for. So, for example, if one of their... I don't know, if a truck's leaving a ground and hits like a pole or something, pushes over the lights, they're responsible for that sort of thing, or they're responsible for following up whoever is insuring the truck for the damages. So although it's damage to Council's infrastructure, we would let our insurers know, but they would have to pay for it and follow that up.
Are their risk management procedures fairly robust, or just
that
the show society?
I couldn't actually tell you. I know that when they put all their paperwork in, it's looked at by our risk management officer. The workplace safety goes up there. I believe they're going up there on Thursday, actually, with our employees. Our environmental health officer also looks through all the documents that they submit to Council for the show. I know that we are crossing our T's and dotting our I's, and so I believe that their risk management processes would be up to some sort of standard if our employees are happy with what they've submitted.
They also, through you, they also have an email, same one with the Showman's Guild, so so the risk's there, so the showman's guild insureds. But if anything happens to us, we're naturally enough, we build the show society first, and it's up to them to build the secondary person if they're involved with it.
Thanks, Julian. Thanks, Per.
Sorry, I'll just add on, in the MOU, I think it's been documented that they have to notify us of anything that goes wrong at the show, so which wasn't put down there before.
Yep. Any further questions?
I know the show society take over the ground for 8 days, so does that mean that the football club can't use their function rooms at all? Because they normally have meals or...
Yep.
They can't do that?
No.
Have they been... I guess they've been...
Yeah.
I wanted to know. Thank you.
That's along the lines of my question as well, Gillian. There's a couple of clauses in here where we're requiring other groups to agree to things, such as the fighting club packing up their stuff and moving out and so forth. I think there's something about the pavilion, bar and restaurant in there as well. They've all been consulted on the contents of this, and they're happy.
Yeah, same as the poultry people as well. Yeah.
Yep. I did have probably two other questions, if that's okay. The requirement for them to provide us with 3 months' notice if they wish to move anything that doesn't belong to the show. Just wondering why such a long period and what the workaround is if they need to move something within that last 3 months.
That's going back, I think it wasn't the previous, but the previous show there, the show society decided to move all the poultry pens and threw them outside and wrecked quite a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that caused I had to mediate between the two organisations. In the end, the show society just did fix the pens because they were at fault. That's why this came about in one way as well. And they have to have one with them as well. So at the moment, they've got agreement with the poultry, give them enough time to move those pens back into the corner, because they have a show. They've had the Hobart show one there. So yeah, that gives them enough time for them to get there. Otherwise, they just can't move at the last minute.
Okay. The other one was around the draft site plan to be distributed to the nominated council representative. There's no time frame on that. Just wondering whether we should have something in relation to when that's due.
Yeah, there probably should be a time frame on there.
It's about halfway down the second page.
I know they normally sort of submitted a couple of weeks out, but yeah, I can follow up.
Probably
on
best
that
to have a time frame in there if we're entering into something.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
along a similar vein, the first one on page 3, we've got a wet weather event backup plan. I'm just wondering if that should be approved by Council's Works Manager. Just says they must have one, but doesn't require it be approved.
Sorry, that was page 3.
Yeah, first one on page 3. While we're fixing mistakes, just the third last dot point on page 3, DILT is spelt incorrectly.
Sorry, what word?
DILT on the first line of the third last dot point. That's all from me.
Okay.
Thanks.
Right. Happy with that? Any further questions? If that's the case, someone would like to move as per the recommendation?
So moved.
Yep.
Just a point of clarification or a question. I mean, Aaron's asked for some changes to the MOU essentially, and now we're voting on approving it.
Adopting the MOU.
Yeah. So what would you like to change it to, Aaron?
Were those suggestions taken on notice?
Yeah.
That's what I thought they were.
Because it has been signed, so I'm going to have to change and get it re-signed and then sort of submit it again, I believe.
Yeah.
That would be, is
could
that the process?
Could we postpone a decision on this until the ordinary council meeting? Is that too late?
When's the show?
That's what I'm wondering.
This weekend.
Yeah. I guess given this hasn't actually been in place in the past, we could also adopt it and then put a change to it at the OCM if you're happy with that.
Yeah. None of the changes that I'm asking for are terminal to the MOU, so I'm happy to move it as it is for this year and then correct them for future years, if you like.
Yeah.
That simplifies things.
Yeah.
Is it a good thing that the show's this weekend? Maybe it gives us a chance to sort of sort any issues ongoing as well. And readdress.
Yeah.
So,
I think there's probably, Councillor Whelan's right, we probably need to put this one at rest for the show, and then probably we have a meeting normally between now and Christmas anyway with them, so, and we can put those remarks that you've put up there and see what they say to them and see if it fits in with them, and if necessary we can review it again.
So in that case, I'm happy to move the recommendation.
Okay.
And the MOU as it is in the agenda.
Yep. Seconder? Seconded by Councillor Masters. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. 5.2, risk assessment, Cloak Oval, Old Beach. And Gillian, you're the same author again, so.
So back in 2022, Councillor Owen raised the risk of errant cricket balls at Cloak Oval, Old Beach. So we've just recently had our insurers do a risk assessment on that oval and the playground. And whilst we've not had any reports of injuries with errant cricket balls in the parks, they've put a few recommendations forward for us to take on board to reduce the risk to unlikely. So we also, councillors will be aware that we had an amount budgeted in this year's budget for a net. So we've also had a chat with Old Beach Cricket Club. So the recommendations is to install netting barriers adjacent to the playground, ensures that barriers are subject to regular documented inspections and repair when necessary, which we would do as like part of our monthly inspections, and to reduce the level of cricket played at the ground. We would also minimise the casual hire of the Old Beach Community Centre whilst open men's grade cricket is being played, not allow the T20 type cricket matches at Old Beach, and to review future use of Cloak Oval in conjunction with the Lennox Park Master Plan that will be happening in this budget period. So it's just for Council to adopt those recommendations and to adopt the report that was submitted with this report item.
So that's open for questions, Sam. Anyone?
From me.
Yep.
Gillian, we've obviously discussed this, I'm assuming, with Old Beach Cricket Club, and they're familiar and they're happy with all of these decisions.
Yes.
So, I mean, I would assume that it would be a hell of a hit on their revenue in regards to not having T20 cricket there and sort of limiting what can be played at the Oval.
Yeah, I think T20 cricket, from my understanding, is a limited part of the normal cricket season, so I'm not quite sure how many games that would affect, but I guess the thing is T20, you're opening to big hits and you're going to expose the playground to a more risk, or even the road to more risk. Yeah, we've got that net up, but there have been reports in the past of balls going over the road and people going through people's backyard to actually retrieve those balls. So like, we have spoken with Old Beach Cricket Club, and I'm pretty sure they're okay with these recommendations.
Okay. If that's the case, I'm
okay.
Yes, Chairman. Gillian, limiting T20 cricket there, does that also sort of increase the need to possibly keep the synthetic turf at Brighton, which is sort of only one of two other options that'll be left then?
It may do. I can't comment on where those games would be played. We do have Wiley Park Oval as well, so I'm not sure how much that is utilised for T20. I would have to follow that one up for you.
Any other questions?
Yes, thank you. Is the netting the only choice for us here? I guess we've looked at other options, such as moving the park further back and so forth. Is that a cost-effective option?
The cost of moving the park would be much more significant than installing the netting.
Yeah.
And the building.
Yeah, and I guess I'm just worried about damage to the net being at ground level, whether that's been considered, the risk of children running into it, climbing on it, so forth.
And this probably does come back to that last point of reviewing the future usage of Cloak Oval in conjunction with that master plan.
Yeah.
Much longer term, they would probably think that may not necessarily be the best site for an oval with that sort of development around it. So there's, the much kind of longer term future, we may need to look at a different site for an oval to service the Old Beach area.
Yeah.
So that will
Thank you.
Any further questions or explanations?
Just a question to follow on from Councillor Della Torre. The netting, is that on the boundary on the fence, or is it going to be placed over near the...
So it's an extension of the existing boundary fence across two portions. Yep.
So it'll catch the ball before it sort of gets over the road.
Yeah. That's not what was displayed in the report. It was a small fence in front of the...
At the end of the oval.
One might be in front of the playground, the other one might be just an extension in front of the cricket net there. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah, there was a small one there, and then there was another one that's on the... On the side of the playground.
So it's 62 metres to the roadside, and it's only 4.9 to the building.
It's more effective. The closer to the playground it is, the more effective it is for the protection of the playground.
On page 19 of the attachments, it shows it just on the corner of the playground across the street, the driveway.
Yeah, I thought it was just...
Be more affected too, put more trees in.
I think we did put some trees in. So it's going there. Near the playground. Yep. So it will go in front of the playground.
At least this will give us some borrowed time to look at long term aspects for it.
Absolutely.
They could probably still utilise, if they do move eventually to a bigger ground, they could probably still use that for just basic training anyway.
I absolutely agree, we have to do something, and thank Councillor Owen for raising it originally.
They can't put more trees in too?
No, it's time they grow on that, then you've got a maintenance problem. And you put more trees in, if the ball misses, the tree's got so far up and it's got a gap, the ball's going to go straight through it anyway. So you're better off in netting. But a lot of other places have netting, and it seems to, if it's done right, it's very hard to climb, so it's very fine. So. Any other further questions or explanations of Gillian?
Happy to move.
Happy to move. Councillor Owen moves.
Second.
All right, seconded.
In saying that, I would really hope that the master plan for Lennox Park is a priority, as in January, February next year, or latest.
We've scheduled it in. We've just got a fair bit of consultation on it. Strategic work at the moment.
It's a much needed thing. T20 cricket, when that ground was developed, wasn't a thing. These days it's just a slog fest, and there's an inherent danger as a result of that. Happy to move.
Thank you, Councillor Owen. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, that motion is carried. That concludes the Park and Rec Commission committee meeting at 25 to 6.